The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ in community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Well, peace be with you. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Now, some of you are like, Judges? What the heck is that? That is in the Old Testament, okay? So you get to go back a little bit. You're in the Old Testament. If you don't know where it is, right behind Joshua, right? If you don't know where Joshua is, keep going back and you'll be the first five books of the Bible, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Okay, so Judges, sixth book of the Bible. We're back there, chapter 6, okay? Only 2 sixes, we're not going 3, okay? So sixth book of the Bible, chapter 6, where we're going, Joshua, chapter 6. And we are finishing a series today called Why? Everybody say why. Which is, if you've ever had a kid, your favorite question to hear, right? Well, why do you do that? Well, why do I have to clean my room? Well, why do I have to go to bed? Because you're crazy. That's why you have to go to bed, right? Why do I have to eat vegetables, right? Or why do I have to eat this or that? I mean, we all have done that. If you ever had a kid or been a kid, that's every one of us. We've asked the question, why, right? If you've ever lived life halfway decent, you've asked the question, why? Why did this happen? Why did I lose this? Why did I get kicked out of here? Why? Why did I break up with that person? Why? We're always asking the question, why? And this week, we're going to be ending off by asking a question that I think we need to ask. And the question is very simple. Why would God use me? Why would God use me? Now, some of us that are entering into Christianity, you're probably asking that question. Matter of fact, one of my favorite examples of that question is the guy named Peter. Anybody heard of Peter? Peter is a guy that is in the Bible that had chronic foot and mouth disease. And I'm not talking about the one we know. He just put his foot in his mouth constantly, right? So we just got out Easter, and right before Easter, on Good Friday, they had the Last Supper, right? They're sitting there, they're chilling. Jesus, I love Jesus, he turned, he said, one of you are going to betray me, and everybody's like, is it me? You know, and then Judas, doing his best, clutching his pearls, he said, is it me? And Jesus turned to him and said, the one I give this bread to, Judas, here you go, bro. Right? He gives it to him. He says, go and do what you're about to do quickly. And Judas dips out. And then, you know, and Peter, he's the real one because he's like, listen, I would never betray you. And Jesus is like, about that. Listen, before tonight's over, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but 3 times. And Peter's like, me? I would never. This is the same Pete that already got called Satan just earlier that week, right? Because he told Jesus he couldn't go to the cross. And this is why you should read your Bible. And he literally looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, he told him to get behind him. He said, you obviously are speaking the words of the devil. You got to get behind me because you're not the guy right now, right? This is the same Peter that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came for him, he pulled out a sword. Mind you, he was asleep 30 seconds earlier. Right? Jesus kept coming back like, hey, I need you to just pray with me to stay awake. But no, he pulls out his sword, cuts off dude's ear, and then Jesus is like, put that down. You obviously, one, you haven't trained enough. You're cutting people's ears off. It's supposed to be like cutting their arm off, stabbing them, but you missed. You got an ear. You know how small and hard it is to hit an ear? That's wild. And then Jesus, my guy, just picks it up, puts it back on, which I'm sure freaked him out. Could you imagine your ear come out, you're in mighty pain, and Jesus grabs it and goes, here you go, and puts it back on your face. And then, you know, he gets kissed and goes off to be tortured and murdered. Like, that's a wild set of events in a matter of a few minutes, right? But in all of that, Peter ends up denying Jesus 3 times. He goes, he runs with the rest of the disciples. He hides in the upper room. They literally, they hide away, they disappear, they're running because the Romans, they figure the Romans are going to come after them, they're next. They lock themselves in the upper room. John chapter 20, Jesus appears in the midst of them and says, peace be with you. If you ever wonder where we got it from, that's where it comes from. They freak out because the door was locked, but here's Jesus appearing. Which, I mean, you know, Jesus, that's what he does. Like, he just kind of like, hey, I'm here, right? But earlier that day, Jesus makes Peter a fish sandwich. He meets him on the shore. He makes him a fish sandwich. He grills it up for him, which I love that. He gives it to Pete, and he says, do you love me? Peter says, yeah. Feed my sheep. Okay. Do you love me? Yeah. Feed my people. Okay. Do you love me? All 3 times he denied him. Yes. I love the fact that he restores him. Because the whole time, I'm sure Peter's going, but why would you use me? I'm the one that you called the rock of my church, yet I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm the one who pulled my sword out and cut a dude's ear off when you told me not to do it. I'm the dude that told me that denied you, literally cussed a dude out. I know, you got to read your Bibles. Literally yelled and cussed at a guy because he said, your accent, you sound like you're from Galilee like Jesus is. And he goes, I'm not that dude. Don't you dare put me in with him. And then looks at Jesus and hears the cock crow and goes, man, I did exactly what he told me not to do. And he's thinking this whole time when he sees Jesus, why would he use me? Me? I'm the dude that denied Jesus. I'm the dude that fought the wrong way. I'm the guy that he does everything wrong. Why would he use me? And maybe you feel that way. Why would God use you to do something significant? Why would God use me? I ask that question all the time. I think, like, I don't know the Bible enough. I still lose my temper. Maybe that's you, me. I'm not a spiritual giant. I'm not Billy Graham out here. You know, I'm not out here saving thousands of souls in stadiums and stuff like that. I don't have any great talent. I'm just kind of me. I can kind of kick a ball, like, right? I occasionally have my doubts. I look at the Bible and like, did that really happen? Like, did he have, like, a Lunchable and feed everybody? Like, did that actually happen? You know, and then I mess up big time constantly. Like, every day. Have you ever felt that way? For those of you that have, the rest of y'all are lying, but for those of you that have, you're just like everybody else in the Bible. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the team. You're just like everybody else in the Bible. Here's, I know you don't believe me, so let me take you to Judges, kind of give you an idea of what's going on. Gideon. Gideon is the original 300, which I love that movie. He's the original 300. He's supposed to fight these guys called the Midianites. And what I do with my kids when we read through it, we always talk about all the ites. So there's the Midianites and the Chigorbites and all the other different bites that are there, right? And so the Midianites are another group of people. And he's supposed to be doing his job by pressing. He's down in the wine press. But what he's doing is he's shucking wheat. Now, if you know anything about wheat, there's a heavy part of wheat and there's a light part of wheat. And what you do is you go on the top of a hill on a windy day, and you would take the wheat and you would beat it against a rock. And as you did it, the light part would go up and make a pile over here through the wind, and the heavy part would fall on the ground, which is kind of, it's smart. It's ingenious. I love ancient ways of doing things. Very, very simple, right? Except for he was down in the wine press. Wine presses happen down the valley. There's no wind down there. Well, he was hiding. He was hiding away from the Midianites. And he was doing the work, but he wasn't doing it right. And God came to Gideon, and I want to read you what he said. God came to him, and he said this, "The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior." By the way, just turn to somebody near you and say, God is with you. Okay, yeah, there you go. I just want you to know that. In case you get nothing else, you know that God is with you. Here's why I say that. I think find it funny. Where I'm from, we would call Gideon a punk. Okay? That's what we would call him, because he was hiding. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't fighting the way he's supposed to be fighting. He was hiding away from the people that God said go in to destroy. That's what we would call him. We would look at him like, man, you a punk. Man, wake up and do what you're supposed to do. Yet God called him a mighty warrior. He called him what he was not. I always found that fascinating, that God took the time to look at them. If the Lord is with us, then why did all this happen, is what Gideon asked. If God is with us, why do these people control my country now? If God is with us, why are all these people dying out here? If God is with us, why this, why that? And he wonders, and he's asking good questions. Why are we suffering? Why do I have to hide in a wine press to do the thing I should be doing out in the open instead of being the man that God has called me to be? And God says, I'm still calling you a mighty warrior. Which brings us all the way to verse 14. And so if you've turned your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, I want you to stand in the honor and reading of God's word. Judges chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 14. And the word says, "And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh." And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if I found favor in your eyes, show me the sign that you speak with me. Please do not depart with me from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. If I were to sum everything up today, I want to put this on the screen so you can read it. And I want you to have it today. It's this. The soul tattoo is God uses imperfect people for his perfect plan, regardless of their past mistakes or feelings of inadequacy. God uses imperfect people. Everybody say imperfect people. For his perfect plan, regardless of their past mistakes or feelings of inadequacy. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you would use me, a broken person, to do your will and your perfect plan. Thank you that you don't require perfection out of us to execute your perfect plan, but that in this, you use us for your glory and that we find joy as you walk with us and carry us. Father, do not let our inadequacies that our enemy would point out to us keep us from executing what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful, even when it's hard. And in the end, let us revel in who you are for all eternity. We ask this in your precious name, and all God's people would say, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, why would God use somebody like me? Matter of fact, here, repeat this question after me. Why would God use somebody like my pastor? If you know me, you probably have asked that question many a times. I can tell you, I am just like you, a regular guy who messes up constantly. Yet God has used me. And it's amazing what he's done. And honestly, if you're like me or anybody else, or heck, if you're like Gideon, or like some of the other people I'm going to point out today, you have imposter syndrome. You ever heard of that? Imposter syndrome is when you're sitting at a table or you're sitting somewhere and you look around and you go, I don't belong here. How did I get here? Why do they want to listen to me? Matter of fact, I have a meeting on Thursday where I'm going to be sitting in an executive director's office. And he's going to ask questions. And here's the thing. I know going into the meeting, I have all the answers he needs. And my first thought is, I don't belong there. I don't want to answer anything. That's the first question. That's the first thought I have in my head. I don't want to answer anything. Yet, I have the answers. God has given me the resources, the time, the history, the background, everything I need to be the person that answers every question they need in that meeting. Yet the enemy is already in my heart going, shh, don't say anything. You don't belong. God has placed you there for this moment, for this time. Have you messed up? Yes. Are you broken? Yes. But I want to go back to that statement. God uses what kind of people? So many times we think we have to be perfect. You are not. I am not. If somebody is perfect, please run. They're lying and weird. Okay? He uses imperfect people for his perfect plan, regardless. Have you met the people of the Bible? I mean, have you read about some? I'm going to give you some examples. I know some of y'all don't believe me, so let me get into it, give you some points, and maybe you can understand this. Ready? The first point, if you're taking notes, and I recommend you take notes, is this. God uses the insecure. So some of you can go, oh, that's me. Okay, well, this is your point. God uses the insecure. Matter of fact, I want you to know this because there's a guy named Moses. Anybody heard of Moses? Raise your hand if you heard of Moses. Yes. Moses, the Old Testament? Okay. If you don't know anything about Moses, he literally argues with God. God goes, I want you to set my people free. And Moses goes, but there should not be a but when God tells you he wants you to go do something. But yet here in Exodus chapter 4, here it's on the screen. Here's what he says. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of tongue and speech and tongue. In other words, I got to stutter. God, I can't go before Pharaoh. I can't go before the president of my country because I stutter. He argued with God. I'm not an outgoing person. I'm too old or I'm too young. I'm terrified of crowds. I don't have a lot of self-confidence. You know what God says? Great, I'm going to use you. Excuse me, what? Did you not hear what I said, God? I want to throw up before I'm in front of large crowds. Perfect, I'm going to put you in front of huge crowds. God, I can't talk to the head of state. I stutter. Perfect. I have a speech for you that I need you to give. And you're like, we seem to be missing each other. Like, I'm talking to God. God's talking to me. But God says, listen, don't be confident in yourself. Be confident in God who's within you. Be confident in the Holy Spirit that resides in you. That is where your confidence lies. I said a few years ago, I got to be the president of a big convention of churches, and I sat in a room of 2,000 people, and I'm supposed to sit here. And mind you, these are my teachers that are in the room, pastors I look up to, and I'm supposed to stand in front of them and deliver a sermon, which I know all these guys that have doctorates know their Greek and Hebrew and that stuff way better than I ever will, and I'm supposed to sit here and break down scripture to them to bless them. And I said, me? And I sat in the back, wanting to throw up. Now, I can do certain things, but that one freaked me out. And I listened to my wife who said, you have what you need. And I listened to my friends who said, you have what you need. God is using you. Just preach. So I went and preached. And I gave the sermon I could give from my heart and my soul. And I gave an example that to this day, now mind you, this is in 2022, to this day, I've had pastors when they call me. I had a pastor a few weeks ago call me and say, hey, will you come and do this for me? Because I remember that sermon you gave. It blessed me. And I'm going, it was 3 years ago. What are you talking about? How do you still remember that? People still coming up, hey, did your wife ever wash that shirt? I remember when you talked about how messy ministry gets and you rub stuff on you. I remember that. I'll never forget that, brother. I didn't know I could do that. When I get a note from one of my teachers that I went to seminary with saying, what an excellent way of portraying God's word, I was blown away. But you see, in my insecurity, I was willing to allow God to use me. And because I was willing to be allowed to be used by God, it blessed so many other people. How many times have you let your insecurity get the best of you? Drive you away. Tell you you can't. When God is saying, I need you to do this. I need you to humble yourself and do this. You see, God, listen, you need to hear this. God knew what he was doing when he made you. But I got this thing in my foot. God knew what he was doing when he, but I'm neurodivergent. God knew what he was doing when he made you. Amen. Every little nook and cranny little thing you have in your life, God knew. He's not surprised. He didn't go, she has diabetes. I didn't know that. He knew. He knew all of that. And you get to be a blessing. Exodus, if you keep going for the passage, Exodus 4:10, Lord said to Moses, here's his response. Here's what God said to Moses. He said, who gave this man his mouth? Is it not I, the Lord? It's one of those moments like when you talk back to your mama and she goes, who are you talking to? Right? That's what God's saying in this moment. Who I gave you that mouth, right? Who are you talking to? Now go. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. I love that. It's not your voice. It's God speaking through you. Here's the thing that means. That means God will help you do the thing you're called to do. If you're supposed to give, give. If you're supposed to serve, serve. If God has called you, he's placed it on your heart, stop dancing around it. Be the best of that you possibly can be. God uses the insecure. But if you're taking notes, write this down. Number two is this. God uses the unlikely. God uses the unlikely. If you're the smartest, funniest, most talented, best athlete, God can still use you. No matter how good you are, God can still use you. But here's the thing. He prefers ordinary people. Just regular people. Just regular old people. God specializes in using those that others overlook. Matter of fact, if you go back to, anybody heard of King David? Yeah, King David is definitely somebody who's overlooked. You go back to Samuel, and he goes to the prophet Samuel, says, I want you to anoint the future king of Israel, right? And he goes, I want you to go to the house of Benjamin, to Jesse, and find some prospects there. And there's some perfect prospects, right? Older and handsome, got nice flowing hair, I'm sure. They played lots of instruments. They were mature, right? You know, they had beard. They didn't have, like, you know, a little stubble. They had, you know, they were men's men, right? Let me show you what he found. Here, it's on the screen. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord has anointed him here to stand before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Mind you, Saul, before him, man's man. You know, he was everything that all the women were like, oh, we love Saul. Like, it was all that, right? That's what Eliab was. And God said, I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. You see, a lot of times you and I and Samuel, the prophet, are looking for something obvious. We look at somebody and go, oh, look at them. Oh, look at them. Oh, man. Oh, he's big and strong. He's got muscles. He's Hercules, all right? We do all that stuff. And God's like, look at their heart. Look at their heart. God chooses the unlikely. I don't know. Have you guys been watching the NFL draft recently? Have you guys heard all the there's a guy. He was a Big 12 player of the year. His name is Shedeur Sanders. And he dropped, he was supposed to be drafted in the first round. He's Deion Sanders' oldest son. He's supposed to be drafted in the first round. We missed that, and then they're like, he'll go on day two. And so I even came home on day two to watch, like, the end of it, and they're like, and Shedeur Sanders got missed again. It was, you know, draft day three, round three, he got missed again. I'm at my daughter's soccer game yesterday, and I get a notice that he got drafted in the fifth round. And everybody's like, oh, man, the Big 12 player of the year, the best quarterback in the Midwest, went to the fifth round, the 180-something pick or 160-something pick. It was wild. And everybody's like, this is crazy. This is horrible. And have your opinions. We could talk about you're right and wrong, and that's fine. But there's another quarterback that I would consider to be the GOAT that was drafted in the sixth round. Anybody know that guy's name? Tom Brady. Now, just, you know, if you wonder what I mean by the GOAT, you have to be a psychopath to be the GOAT because they don't care about anything else. The man gave his wife and children up for football. It's insane, okay? So don't do that, okay? Jesus, don't do that, okay? But what I'm saying is, like, by a six-round pick, he came up. He's this unlikely guy. And if you don't know anything about the story of Tom Brady, he didn't have a very fast 40-yard dash. I think it was close to 5 seconds, which is, like, snail slow. Like, there are offensive linemen that are 300-pound that run 4.5, you know, and he's sitting here, like, plodding away. He's flat-footed. He's not the best thrower. But here's what he did. He got to New England. He was on the practice squad. He made the team, the practice squad. And you know what he did? He was in there talking to his coaches, and he goes, Coach, I bought a house. And the coaches are like, are you out of your mind? Because you have to understand, in the NFL, if you're in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, you're expendable. They'll get rid of you at any time. You're a practice squad guy. Tom Brady said, I'm putting down roots in Boston. I bought me a house, and I'm staying. And everybody's like, are you insane? You must be insane. Okay, he'll be okay. He'll get that money back when we ship him off to somewhere else. And he got himself prepared. And then the guy that was in front of him, Drew Bledsoe, got hurt in the preseason. And he came in and led him to a championship. And the rest, as they say, is history. He was prepared to be used. He had the heart of a lion, pointed in the wrong direction. It's football, not Jesus, right? But he had the heart of somebody that was willing to put in the work, put in the time. He was willing, behind the scenes when nobody was looking, to cultivate himself into the man he needed to be so he could be the man that took them to what he was. And if you know anything about the Patriots in the early 2000s, it's like the Chiefs now, it's annoying. You always heard them winning and going to the Super Bowl, and you're just kind of over it. Why? Because he had the heart. David had that heart. David took care of the sheep. You ever read the Psalms? David was out there in the sheep when nobody else was out there. David was cultivating his fingers, playing the lute, which is like a small guitar. David's out here fighting lions with his bare hands, fighting bears with his bare hands. He took a slingshot. By the way, the whole David and Goliath story, people always go, oh, David, that wasn't a fair fight. My man had been picking off enemies with a slingshot for years when nobody was looking. He didn't know what he was walking into. You ever seen a fight where somebody thinks they got it, like big strong dude, and this is a little small dude, and he goes in and just knocks him out, and everybody's like, what happened? He's been practicing. David had been cultivating his heart for years, and God was looking at that. He wanted to see his heart. Is your heart prepared to be used by God? Are you ready to be used by God? Are you at the point where you have cultivated your heart, where you've practiced in secret, where you have looked at those spiritual disciplines we talked about in January and February, where you've been meditating on God's word and digging and praying and yielding to the Holy Spirit and growing in that to a point that when God comes for you, he says, I want that heart. I want that heart. You have to understand that God will do great things to those that are willing to yield their heart like David did. Last thing, if you're taking notes, is this. God uses the broken. He uses the broken. Any of the disciples that thought they were going to use, again, I go back to Peter. Peter said, I got your back, Jesus. Woohoo, I'm with you all times. And God's like, you with me? Remember, he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. He said, I wasn't Jesus' guy. Matter of fact, here, Luke chapter 22. This is the part where Peter lost his mind. Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I love this translation. I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster, this is the third time he denied him, crowed in the crowd. Now, this is the part that gets me. Jesus, the Lord, turned and looked at Peter. You ever done something wrong and the person you did wrong looks at you as you did it? Yeah. Wait. Like, there's a different level of hurt and disappointment. Like, they don't even say anything. Your heart just breaks in that moment, right? That's what happened. Jesus looked at Peter, and I always tell people, I'm never tell you I told you so, but I'm going to look at you, and you'll know I'm thinking it, right? But that was that moment, right? He looked at him like, nah. That was the whole thing. Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me. You will disown me three times. You don't mess up bigger than this. Like, listen, I know you have some mess ups in your life. I'm sure you can come back and be like, Pastor, listen, what I did and that, cool. You have never denied Jesus to his face three times. Okay? So until you've done that or more, you're good. Okay? Like, I mean, let's take a step back to David. He murdered a dude. Moses too. Like, these aren't the stand up. Our sins are JV compared to most of the people in the Bible. Yet, God used them. So if you're divorced, you lost your cool, you battle an addiction right now, you have financial trouble, you just blew it in general in life, after the resurrection, Jesus forgave Peter, so he can do that to you. Guess who God chose to preach at Pentecost in Acts? Peter. Not his little brother James, not John, Peter. He says, you, the broken one, you go preach. And Peter came out with some fire. Peter came out like, this is Jesus y'all killed. I'm like, ooh, Peter, hey, chill, right? We can't preach that nowadays, but that's Peter came out with fire. And people got saved. People got saved. Peter was insecure, unlikely, and broken, but he was a disciple. Let me say that again. He was insecure, unlikely, and broken, but he was a disciple, a follower of Christ. No one can better preach forgiveness than somebody who's received forgiveness out of their brokenness. Now, that does not mean you need to go seek to get broken in order so you can preach forgiveness. Because some of y'all, I'm going to go do some crazy. No. But man, the people that know how to preach forgiveness are the ones that need it, that have been broken from it. When you've had to seek it, you know how to talk about it. That's how you know who's been forgiven. Why? God loves to use the insecure, the unlikely, and the broken. And if you're any of those three categories, he wants to use you. If you're not one of those three categories, look at me. You are lying. You're lying to yourself and to us, and you're doing yourself no good. We all are in those categories, but God wants to use you. For what? For building his kingdom. For bringing other people into the kingdom, for his glory and your joy. So what does God want to do through you? I'm going to put this up. I want you to see this. You have to step out and find out. You have to step out and find out. Can I be honest with you? Stepping out and finding out is scary. Right? Stepping out and finding out is scary. Moses had to go. And God said, I'll give you the words to say. He didn't say, here's everything you need, Moses, right here. He didn't give him a little PDF that you can carry with him on his phone and look at it and be like, God said, let my people go. Like, he didn't do all that, right? He said, go, and then I'll provide for you. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I need you to leave the Ur of Chaldees. Abraham said, where am I going? Yeah. And he went. He walked in faith. David, there's a dude, he's like 9 foot tall, and he's killed everybody, and he's out here making fun of me. I'm going to have you go and fight him with a rock. Five. He's got a couple brothers, so take those two. Peter, I know you denied me. I know you denied the faith. I know you said you don't follow me. I know you looked me dead in my eye and told me you would never do this. I know you walk around with a sword slinging people's ears off. I know you can do all that stuff. Now I need you to put the sword down. I need you to go back as your forgiveness, and I need you to preach. And I need you to tell the world about me. Boy, did Peter ever do that. You understand, Peter preached the gospel until he was hung from the cross upside down because he didn't find himself worthy enough to be crucified like his Lord. The man begged to be crucified the other way. He lived his life for Christ until death and the legacy he left behind him. Listen, I just want to tell you that if you are broken, if you are insecure, if you are unlikely, God can and will use you if you allow him to. So the question you have to ask is, God, why me? Why would he use me? And the question I'm just going to put back is the wrong question. Why not you? Why not you? When I was a young Christian, I had a pastor who would tell me, I'm looking for fat people, which I thought that was odd when he first said it. But then he told me what it meant. He said, faithful, available, and teachable. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll go with that. I didn't know if he was like pretty hot and tempting. I didn't know what he was asking for. So like I just said, where are we going for here, right? Right. And what God is looking for in the heart of broken, unlikely, and insecure people is those that are willing to be faithful, those that are willing to put their hand out and say, I'm available to be used, those that are teachable and have teachable hearts. If you look at everybody I mentioned to you today, Gideon, David, Moses, and Peter, they were fat, faithful, available, teachable. And when they acted in that manner, God used them to do amazing things. Think of any of your heroes in the faith. Any of your heroes in the faith. And those men and women were faithful, available, and teachable. And they changed their worlds because they were willing to be used by God. And when you do that, you will shape a world around you for Christ that will blow your mind. But maybe you don't even know that Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, okay, that sounds good. I'll be fat. That's cool. But I want you to be fat for the right reason, okay? I want you to be faithful and available, teachable, because Christ is in you. Because God has given you the word through his Holy Spirit. But the only way you can have that is have the Holy Spirit in you. And the only way you can do that is by receiving Christ. And maybe today is the day that you do that. You've played the game, you've danced around the issue, but today is the day that you actually receive Christ into your heart, that you say, hey, God, I want the fullness of you in me for all time so that I can do what you've called me to do. God, I need you. If that's you, take the first step. Come talk to myself, Brother Ricky. Let's have the conversation of what it means to take the next step into your faith journey. So that you can receive Christ, you can get baptized, you can tell the world that you are on fire for Christ. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to ask you to get off your hind parts because you are broken, unlikely, and insecure. I'm going to ask you to open your hands and say, God, use me for your glory and let me find joy in it. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you would use somebody like me who came to you broken in so many different ways to bring you glory. Father, I thank you because in all of this, you have given us the spirit of you in our lives. And as we receive you and are shaped by you, we're able to walk with you. We need you, Jesus. We are insecure. We are the worst candidates, so unlikely, and we are broken. But in all of that, you use us for your glory. And Father, we find joy in it. And so we thank you, we praise you, we're amazed by you and all that you are. Continue to use us, just like Gideon, just like Moses, David and Peter, and all those in the Bible that were used by you. Father, there are many in this room that don't know you. Maybe they played the religious game and they've told the world that they actually follow you, but they don't in their heart of hearts. Let today be the first day that they do that. Let today be the day that they change and that they follow you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that you may be glorified, their internal life be held, and they be found in you for all eternity. We thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. And all God's saints would say,
thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.